ArkansasSports.com.
All right, well, a lot of things went right for Arkansas to pull off a victory in overtime last night, and, man, I'm glad they did. I think for everybody it was much needed because it was going to be a long few days. Listen to people complain, close but no cigar again, and it looked like they were headed that way after Florida hits a three towards the end of regulation and then took a pretty spectacular effort in overtime to win it.
It did. I thought I'd like to point out, I think Calipari's a really good coach.
Yeah.
But after the game, he kind of blamed his players, said they were standing around. Well, there's a little coaching that goes with that. But the thing that really stood out to me was after the dunk, he lobbied hard to get 0.02 seconds put back on. And it possibly could have been 0.03. And he took a long time to diagram the play because you got to throw it 93 feet and somebody tip it in. That's your only hope. And he diagrammed this great play, apparently, and forgot to take into consideration where the scoreboard was.
Yeah. It was such a fitting end, and that was exactly right. I mean, what a great finish to an already kind of weird end of the game. I mean, it's one of those plays that we'll be talking about for years to come. And then on top of that, the inbounder throws the ball into the scoreboard and stays up there, which was hilarious. So
I was so relieved, though, Justin, they didn't make the decision to retrieve the game ball and make the game 4.5 hours
long. No doubt. Huge jockstrap last night to the officials. A horrific job of calling fouls, of delaying the game by looking at video. And, oh, by the way, the one most flagrant, they didn't even call, did they? I mean, there was no call on that, was there? The double elbow to the face?
Nope, they missed it.
Yeah. So, whatever. I mean, they tried to call one on Arkansas, decided it wasn't a foul. They called one on Kentucky, decided it was a foul. And then there was a double elbow to the face that they didn't even call. I don't know. And the other thing was about the Arkansas one, which further delayed the game. And, again, I don't want to focus on that because it's not really the point of the day. But there was already the play went on afterwards.
Right.
And then they let the shot go up, and then there was a dead ball, and then they went back and looked. And maybe that's typical, but they didn't even stop play on the elbow. It took Calipari complaining about it for them to go look at it.
The officials in the SEC have long been known to anticipate calls.
Right.
And that comes from the training of a guy that was in the league for a long, long time, and he taught all these guys, trained a lot of them. And they do. They anticipate fouls, and they forget. They're so athletic now, guys can avoid fouls at the last split second. The one that they tried to call and didn't, you know, if the guy doesn't move his head back like he's Jermaine Taylor, he's going down.
Mm-hmm.
But they're so athletic, and these guys are still anticipating fouls. And I'm not saying it was one way or the other. It was both ways.
Yeah. I agree. Just a poor job overall. But at the end of the day, Arkansas made more plays and wins the game. I will say a couple things. First of all, Michael Qualls, welcome back. I mean, yesterday we sat here and we said, somebody sent out a search party. Two guys are going to have to show up, Michael Qualls and Moses Kingsley. Now, Kingsley had one of his quieter performances for actually playing double-digit minutes, 13 minutes in the game, and he only had 4 points. Didn't pull down a single rebound. So not a very effective game for him. But, again, they did not necessarily have to lean on him because guys like Williams, you know, Wade, we've been asking, where is he? He came up big last night. Those guys played well. But Michael Qualls, obviously, the dunk and some other plays had to come up big. And he got off to a hot start. 34 minutes, he ends up 5 of 14. He was 7 of 11 at the line. The 5 rebounds, obviously, the one stands out. But 18 points in the game to tie for the Arkansas lead along with Rashad Madden. I would also say that Kai should be buying Michael Qualls lunch today because what Qualls did was cover up what was a bad decision and a worse shot by Kai Madden. And everybody, I mean, Nessler and Jimmy Dykes last night are going, you got to take it to the rack. Standing at the perimeter and waiting until the clock runs down to shoot a jump shot that's contested is a terrible decision by a guy who I consider to have one of the highest IQs basketball-wise on the team. He knows better than that. I don't know why they settled for that. He's been the go-to guy offensively the last couple of games. At the end of the day, it all worked out fine. Thank God Qualls was so heads up on the play. But that was a bad decision, and Qualls really bailed him out.
Yeah, and the thing about Rashad is he can drive on just about anybody.
Yeah.
He doesn't always make the shot, but he gets the foul. That shot, that three-pointer, he wasn't squared up, and he has to be squared up. He's not going to get anything off the dribble, and he shot that one-footed,
yeah,
and it wasn't going to go.
Arkansas at the line again did themselves a lot of favors. It's something we've been complaining about and talking about. 70.7% in the game. Arkansas goes 29 of 41. I think they missed maybe one in overtime, 7 of 8, I think, in the extra period. So very key. And another guy I was really happy to see rebound and play well. Still had a couple decisions. I'm like, what are you doing? But Alanis Harris came up big. The three-point play, I mean, did some good things at the free throw line late. I mean, he was a huge key for Arkansas having a chance to make that play at the end. He and Portis both, though, as physically, you know, gifted as they are, really making some questionable decisions on perimeter jump shots. I don't know what they're thinking. Maybe they can hit them in practice. I've seen Portis shoot fine when he was in high school. But the bottom line is they don't need you to do that. Your role has changed significantly. When you were at Hall, you got to do everything. Now you don't need to do that anymore. Get your butt inside and get some offensive rebounds, which he's done a good job of. But there were some unbelievably horrific shots. And the problem for Arkansas is they would go through stretches of 4 and 5 possessions where they would take bad shot after bad shot.
Get up by 7 and then give it away.
Yeah.
That worries you a little bit. But one thing about this, they didn't quit. And last night's game showed how much they need Qualls. He played 39 minutes against Florida and had 1 point. He played 22 minutes against A&M and had 2 points. Last night, he was productive.
Yeah, no question. Also, I was happy to see Fred Gulley play well. Fred Gulley has 9 points in the game, and he had 7 on 3 consecutive possessions, I believe. He had a 3 and a couple of 2s. I don't know where that came from, but the guy was feeling it, and you just let it ride. And, I mean, he hits the 3, hits a couple jumpers after that. I thought he was forcing it. He got a couple of jump shots in transition, and I thought, well, that's a little quick, but then he made them, and it's like, well, okay, great.
They did take some quick shots last night.
Yeah.
We've talked about that with Matt, because Matt played for Nolan, and he pointed out some things to us. Nolan didn't like quick shots. He didn't mind who took it or where you were as long as you passed the ball 3 times.
Saturday, Arkansas travels to Georgia. Georgia last night blown out on the road at Florida 71-50. No surprise, it's just in Florida's pretty good. So it wasn't a huge issue there. Arkansas with a great opportunity. I'm not bent out of shape if Arkansas loses at Georgia this week, as long as they win at Tennessee.
I like their chances better at Georgia.
See, I like their chances better against Florida than I did against Kentucky, too, so who knows?
I did, too.
Good luck figuring out what this team's going
to
do.
Yeah, that was a game that may come back to haunt them, but this was a must-win for strength of schedule.
It was so much fun to watch. It was such a great game, and I would rather have had them win like that as a fan, even though it was a little late, than have them win in regulation. That was so much fun to go out like that. I've never seen a game end on a dunk like that. On a missed shot, rebound, dunk. I've never seen it.
I have, but it's been a long time.
Yeah.
But he timed it perfect. He didn't try to go down with it and back up and lay it off the glass. He just did what he's supposed to do.
Outside of the win in the NCAA tournament, and more so, I think, than the win over number 2 Florida last year, which was somewhat meaningless, although we didn't know it at the time, to me, this is, I mean, in 10, 15 years, it's the biggest, most dramatic win they've had. Is that overstating
it? It could last night.
If it starts something.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. If they can find a way.
If this spark creates a fire.
Yeah. I mean, what Gully's got to do is take that game on the road. He has to.
Mm-hmm.
Kai Madden or Rashad Madden has to take that game on the road.
Right.
But the last 2 games, Madden has really stepped up and been the floor leader.
What did Portis end up with rebound-wise last night? He had 10. He had a double-double, 11 and 10. So, again, I need to see more of that on the road as well. And, you know, he played okay. He's played okay in the first couple of games. I mean, you know, again, shot selection is a little bit iffy, but for the most part, I think he's been pretty solid.
Mainly, there's a reason for Razorback basketball fans to feel really good today. That was a very good Kentucky team.
Mm-hmm.
They had 6 McDonald's All-Americas.
Yeah.
And they made them look like dumpster divers behind Burger King.
I like it. Nice. We'll hear much more from the winners last night. We will hear from John Calipari, who I love to lump in with the losers today, which is good. He's a winner in life. He's a loser last night. It was quite fun to watch that. But talk some NFL as well today. We will also visit with Michael Felder, Bleach Report, about some college football moves. Chris Ash yesterday, I know you guys probably delved into it pretty heavily on overtime. We found out during our show yesterday that he was going to Ohio State, and apparently he's going to be the co-defensive coordinator with Luke Fickell, who was the interim head coach up there. So that poor guy keeps getting sort of passed over and pushed aside to some degree. But with the defensive performance they had this year, it's no huge surprise. The big surprise is, and most people are sitting here scratching their heads, what's the reason? Why was he an attractive candidate for a program as highly thought of and as successful over the last few years as Ohio State?
You know, this is speculation on my part, but if you look in the media guide and they show a picture of the coaches and their family, there's no wife there, just 2 children. And it may be he wanted to get back closer to where his children are.
Could be.
And if that was the case, I salute him.
I don't have any reason to question why he would want to be the defensive coordinator at Ohio State.
Right.
I will also assume that he's going to make as much money or more. The question I have is, why is Ohio State interested in him? That's what I'm having a hard time figuring out.
I think he's good.
Okay. And I'm not knocking him. Last year, I don't know that, you know, Vince Lombardi could have made a great defense out of the team that they had last year, or Tom Landry. But the bottom line is, I don't know why he becomes an attractive candidate. And if you're an Ohio State fan today, I guarantee you they're having the same conversation we'd be having if we hired a coach that came off a three-win season.
Well, I think he was hired off his performances at Wisconsin.
I understand that.
You know,
Which is a more fair way to look at it, admittedly.
Yeah, Arkansas was 87th overall in defense last year. That means there were 40 teams worse than them.
Well, I don't think they were ranked too far behind Ohio State, which had
exactly.
a lot more talent, allegedly.
And Ohio State gave up a lot of yards passing.
Yeah.
But, you know, this was one of the guys that Brett paid over $500,000 to. He had to have him on his staff. He had to fight off Wisconsin to get him down here.
Yeah, but, I mean, look, $550,000 is a lot of money to me. It's a lot of money to you. It's a lot of money to a lot of people. But you know what? For a defensive coordinator in the SEC, it ain't great. It ain't a huge amount of money for what coordinators make these days. There's plenty of million-dollar coordinators in the SEC.
Well, I think everybody's overpaid.
No question, but if you're looking at it relative to other coaches,
yeah.
you're not looking at it relative to us. You're looking at it relative to other coordinators in the league. $550 ain't a lot. Now, Sam Pittman is making a lot of money for an offensive line coach, and he may very well be the best offensive line coach in the league. I'll be willing to grant him that, because if Nick Saban comes after you, you must be pretty good.
That's right.
Although, he just hired Lane Kiffin, so then I have to sort of put an asterisk next to that. I don't know how I feel.
I don't know about that.
I don't either. What is that about?
What has Kiffin shown?
He's got to have naked pictures of Saban somewhere. I don't understand the whole thing. Maybe it'll turn out great. Maybe they'll have the number one offense in America this coming
year. What has Lane Kiffin done to have this great reputation?
He's been named Kiffin. I don't know.
I guess he was offensive coordinator at USC and had Reggie Bush.
Look, I could see if James Franklin brought him in to be offensive coordinator because he bases a lot of it on how hot your wife is. Hey, home run there. I'll give him that. Everything else I don't get. I mean, the guy is a buffoon off the field. He's a marginal coach, sub-marginal coach on the field. I mean, I don't know that he's ever stood on his own two feet and done well, has he? I mean, he was a co-offensive coordinator at USC with Sarkisian. Sarkisian's the head coach at USC now. You got your chance, and you didn't do too great.
You remember what Al Davis said when he fired him?
No.
He said, the guy's an idiot, and I'm not paying him a penny.
Yes, and at the time, we poked at Al Davis and said, well, you're a weirdo. You can't be right. Turns out maybe he was.
And he didn't pay him a penny.
Well, there you go. Al's a lot smarter than we thought he was. Let's take a call here. If you went in on the Razorback win last night, Wally will be here for the next couple hours. Ernie Murray, a very happy former Razorback, will join us at 11 o'clock. Tommy Merkison's coming in. We're going to talk about the Arkansas Big Buck Classic. Be here in a couple of weeks, and we're looking forward to being over there as well. It is a great show and a chance to win $10,000. We'll qualify somebody in the first hour today, Matt. Make me a man of my word. We'll qualify somebody in the first hour today for the $10,000 giveaway. What do you
think? Good. There's or no maybe we won't. It may be the second or third hour, but... in the first hour.
Cody, thank you. What's up?
Good morning, guys.
How are you?
Oh, man, I'm great. How about y'all?
Good.
Good. The game last night, I really enjoyed it, like you said, while ago, Dustin, just how it was, you know, 45, 42, and it was just all the way to the end, and then to freaking finish the game off like it did, good Lord, that was awesome. But, man, I was so frustrated at the Dickham refs, like you was talking about earlier. I mean, good Lord. I mean, I was like, let the guys play for the love of goodness. You know, but I mean, I knew there was some, you know, and I always think the whole time I was watching that game, I kept singing the song by Jerry Reed. We got to go, or they got to go mine, we got to shaft. Because, I mean, it's like every time we turned around, we was getting smacked or whatever. And we were getting freaking, you know, we couldn't get no calls, but the minute we just poked Kentucky with a finger, you know, we got called for a foul. And, it was just ridiculous. But anyway, and the kudos to the Hawks, and I hope we head off to Georgia this weekend and show up and show out. That's all I got to say.
Cody, appreciate it. Anytime you can throw a Jerry Reed song reference in, that's good.
The one thing I wish they had right now, and I'm certainly not raining on last night's parade, I wish they had a Pat Bradley in shape.
Yeah.
Because they still don't have that pure shooter. Kai Madden, you give him the open shot, he can make it.
May I say that I played a pickup game with Pat Bradley yesterday. A Pat Bradley who's not quite the lean, mean machine he was back in the day can still outshoot anybody on this team, and I mean that.
Future co-host.
I mean that literally. I don't mean that figuratively. I mean literally can outshoot anybody on this team right now. I keep waiting for Bell to rise to the occasion because to me he looks like the most pure shooter. He hit one nice little jump shot in the lane in transition, but – I mean, he only took a couple of shots last night, so I keep waiting for him to sort of rise to the occasion. We're kind of waiting for Wade. Wade finally looked like a contributor. He didn't have huge numbers, but he looked comfortable. He's a steadying guy. I mean, on the defensive end, he's certainly a great on-ball defender. I mean, he brings some things to the table, plus experience. So
I know they think Gully's the best on-ball defender. That's obvious, but I'm not sure it's that Madrake is sitting right there with him.
I could not agree more. I'm with you. As we head into the break, we want you to come get you some. Come celebrate with us. It's fun, hey. We don't get to do this too often lately. Is this game worthy of a nickname? Because this is a game we'll be talking about for a long time. We beat Kentucky on a last-second dunk, and then the dude from Kentucky on the final inbound throws it into the scoreboard. Two things I've never seen before. Happened back-to-back. It was awesome. I mean, look, you got the shot from Scottie Thurman. I'm not putting it on par with a national championship game winner. I'm not putting it on par with even the Miracle on Markham that sends you to the SEC championship game. But this game's deserving of a nickname. What's it going to be? I saw a great comment on Twitter today. Qual those hogs. Thought that was pretty good.
It is good.
Anyway, here's a little Mike Anderson talking about what he told the guys at the overtime break. Whatever it was, it worked out fine.
We've been to this place before. I think, you know, number one, is let's show, you know, not only ourselves, but everybody else, we learned something from the last time we went to overtime. And so in order to get that experience, you got to go through it. So it was tough, you know, playing Florida and losing a game, you know, that we thought we were in control. But at the same time, it was a lesson learned. I thought our guys really did. I thought we got up there and stepped up and made free throws. We attacked the basket. We had some of their guys in foul trouble, got some of them fouled out. Willie Cauley-Stein, because he's a big boy back there, man. I mean, he protects that hole. So we did a good job of attacking, knowing when to attack, when not to attack, got to the free throw lines. And we had stops, even on the last play. We made stops, and the ball just bounced along, and they get another shot, then they get another one, and, boy, eventually they're going to knock one down. But it even went to the last play. Our guys showed resilience. They showed great poise.